All right, if you got your Bible this morning, John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Good place to start, right? In the beginning. I don't know where we'll end. You never know. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again for your presence here in this place. Lord, we do thank you for your love. Lord, that you first loved us. Lord, even when we don't understand it, that you love us beyond all of our earthly understanding and comprehension. But Lord, we just thank you for it. Lord, I pray as we open your word this morning, Lord, that you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds. I pray, Lord, that you would just close my mouth and that you would speak your message through me today. Lord, that we as your church might receive the message you have for us. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Familiar verses, you've probably read them before. We've read them together before, I know, more than once probably. You think about in the beginning. Wonder what comes to our mind today when you think of the beginning? Lots of different things, right? There's always a beginning to something. There's always an end, eventually, sooner or later, maybe. We think about the beginning in its general thoughts and ideas. Probably most often in church life, we might first thought might come to in the beginning, God created, right? That's in the very beginning in the book of Genesis, and God's Word, He gives us the very beginning. I want you to think just this morning as we consider this first verse in John, that in the beginning references before the beginning of creation. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, in this context, in this verse, as we read it in John this morning, is in the beginning, beyond anything that we can really understand. Our human mind, our nature, I think, when we really stop to think about this verse, cannot really comprehend when the beginning was. I believe probably wholeheartedly we could go billions upon trillions of years beyond what we could even imagine, and there is God. The most important thing we could understand this morning in the life of the church is that we have a God that is bigger than anything we could understand.
That's right.
We have a God that's bigger than time, bigger than days and minutes that we could put a number on, and that He has always been. And as John mentions here, as we're reading it here in the book of John, in the beginning, he gives us an important reminder that the Word was. He says, was the Word, right? Capital W, we recognize that today as a reference to who? Jesus Christ, right? In the beginning was the Word. Very important for the church today to think about some of the very details that are written in Scripture for us, that in the very beginning was the Word, was Jesus Christ. From the very beginning, whether we see it or not, in our own minds, in the world's eye today, whether they believe that or not, when we put into our normal comprehension, we probably in church life look to the Old Testament and see that there was a foretelling of a Jesus coming. In the New Testament church, we see Jesus on this earth, but it's important to know that Jesus was before that. Right. He was before it was prophesied in Old Testament. He was before all of those things. In the beginning, He was there, and He said, and the Word was with God. Gives us an important distinction, right? We've talked about it many a times in the life of the church about this term, the Trinity, probably. You might consider some of those things when we talk about God, but it's important to understand in this verse, as we see it here, that Jesus was and that He was also with God, which means that they are separate, right? They're two different things. As we discuss Jesus and we discuss the Heavenly Father, they're two different individuals. But what does it say? The Word was God. They are the same. Now there's a tongue twister to figure out that to the world, right? Jesus was, He always has been, He always will be. God was always there and has always been and will always be. From the beginning to the end, whatever those days look like for us, we don't understand it all because it's just our human mind cannot comprehend those things. We want to put a beginning on something. We want to put a start date and an end date. We want to have those things. We always think about this conversation probably most often when we're standing, if you ever stand over here in the cemetery, right? You ever think about that? There's a beginning and there's an end date, right? You always walk through. Have you ever walked through the cemetery and just looked at headstones? I don't know, most of you probably don't hang out in the cemetery just for the heck of it. But you think about the cemetery, right? You get there and there's a headstone. And if you get there, there's a man and there's a woman that were buried there maybe. Or they've got a headstone there and one has their name on there. And there's a date there when they were born. And there's a date when they died. And maybe the next one's there and their name's there and their date's there when they were born. But there's nothing else yet. That's those time in between, right? The old saying is it's the dash in between that means something. That's life. That's where we are today in our life and our relationship. God is beyond all of that. We can't put that beginning date or that end date. And it should bring encouragement to the life of the church this morning to consider that we have a God that's bigger than anything we could fathom. Bigger than anything we could dream up, any ideas, any thoughts, any hurts and struggles in our life, any pain and suffering, any joy that we could experience on this earth. God was there before it all. And Jesus was with him and they were one. And the most important thing we understand today is that we serve a God that is united with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit working in our life. And that they, being that Trinity and that one, are the direction for the church today. Amen. We've been discussing for months and months about the early church in the book of Acts. We've been discussing what is it that God is doing in our life. And we consider this morning in your heart and your life, I wonder, where is God in your life? If He has always been and He will always be, and He is part of our life because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, what does that really mean today for the church? What does that mean for you this morning? He says the same in verse 2, was in the beginning with God. It's important for us to know those things, right? That we serve a God that has always been, and we have a Savior that lives in our life that was there with Him. He's not some created, made-up God that we decided, the world decided should fit our mold or our pattern. We couldn't create it in our own ideas. He's always been. And it distinguishes today the faithful followers of Christ from those that don't know who Jesus really is. And from those religions that are something separate from that. So this morning, when you think about these things, consider how important is it to know that you have a God that has always been and will always be.
Amen.
And does it change anything in your life this morning? And does it change in your thoughts and your hearts to know the fact that God has always been and that He knows your life before you were ever born?
That's right.
Scripture tells us that, right? And He knows our life after we die physically on this earth. He knows eternity for us. And if we have relationship with Jesus Christ, it's something for us to live in. He says in verse number 4, in Him was life. Excuse me, let's go back to verse 3. I skipped it. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. We believe that this morning?
Amen.
In the life of the church, all things were made by Him. Everything. Everything that we see and know and can understand and fathom. I find it interesting how oftentimes in the world we have these new inventors and these new people come up with ideas and all this new stuff, right? And I think the Scripture gives us very clear definition that none of that is new. There's not a thing that is created or made or comes up in our life today that God didn't already know about. That He gave us the ability to discover those things. These brilliant scientists that discover all these magic cures for all of our illnesses and those kinds of things. You know, God already knew that the illness was there and He knows what cures that illness.
That's right.
Man, we could just blow apart the whole medical world and the scientific world and everything, right? In a matter of seconds.
Amen.
By determining that there's a God that created it all.
That's right.
And a God that loves us and knows our life. He says it created all things, but by Him all things were made, right? And without Him was not anything made. Without Him, there wouldn't be anything that we have today. We wouldn't know any of the things we know today. We wouldn't have the life and the breath we have. We wouldn't have the world we live in, the universe that we know and understand, and the one that we don't understand. Think about, just for a minute, the big expanse of the universe that we understand right now and what's beyond that. Our scientists are always discovering things, right? How many millions of miles away is the sun? And it's the closest star to us that we know about. And you think about how many million miles away it is from us. And on a nice warm day, you can still feel the heat from the sun. Millions of miles away. How is that possible? When in the midst of winter, you got to be standing next to the furnace to feel the heat, right? In the same room, 6 feet away. But we can feel the heat from the sun that God created millions of miles away from us. That's a God that we should celebrate today.
Amen.
It's a God that we should consider this morning. He made all things. No matter what the world says, no matter what individuals might think in their life, He made all things, and without Him there was no way that we would have any of these things. It puts into perspective this morning in the life of the church, what is God calling for us? If we've got a God that big, what could He do in my life? And what could He do in your life? And what could He do in the life of a church in Fowler, Colorado that was committed to understanding who He is and what He's doing and what He wants to do? And where could we go in our life every single day in relationship to the world we live in? And how could we be a witness and a light that we talked about before in the world that we live in today? If we just recognize the power of a God that's mightier than all these things. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Do we celebrate our life in Jesus today?
Amen.
Do you consider your life on a daily basis what life really is like? Knowing who Jesus Christ is and what He does in our life. And look what He says, verse 5, "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." The darkness could not understand those things. The world cannot understand. We live in a world today full of darkness. We know that. Sinful nature and all the things that go on around us, we live in that. And we consider for just a minute that the church, as we strive to be the light that we've talked about already, that God has called us to be. As an individual Christian, we understand that they don't comprehend it. If someone is living in darkness, how can they comprehend the light? That's what the verse says right there, right? The darkness didn't comprehend the light. Before the light, before we recognize the light, if we go back to Genesis, we know that God created it, right? And He provided those things. And He created all of the things that we know today and the opportunity we have to celebrate in the light of Christ. The darkness comprehended it not. He says in verse 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light," capital L, "that all men through him might believe." Now we get to this place where we've comprehended all the things of God this morning, right? We've talked a lot about God in just a couple of verses. We've determined that there's a God that loves us, that cares for us, that created everything that we've ever seen and everything we will ever see and we will know. And we get to this particular verse I want you to consider. It's not just about this one man. But we get to this verse in John, and where we now see in the midst of all of this creation, there's a man. And in the midst of the creation that we live in today, there is a man and a woman and people sitting in this room today that were created by God for a very specific purpose.
Amen.
And this morning, one of the most important things we could ever understand as a church is that you were created by God. And that you are loved by God. And that He has a purpose for your life today. One of the greatest challenges we face in the Christian life, you know what the devil likes to do? Help us think that we're not effective. The devil likes to attack the church. The devil likes to attack us individually as Christians. He likes to use any tactic that is possible to do those things. And this morning, as we're reminded of verses like we read right here, we understand it says, in the midst of all of these things, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Well, we recognize that John was sent from God, by direction of God, to do something very specific. And each and every person in this world today, whether they choose to accept it or not, has been created for something very specific. That's the difficulty we realize in our world today, right? Not every person chooses to do what God has called them to do. If that was the case, the church walls would be packed with people every Sunday all over the world, right? People would be crawling into the church doors just begging for opportunity to do what God has called them to do. And we'd be out in the street corners and we wouldn't be able to turn around without finding Christians that are serious about their commitment and their relationship to Jesus Christ. And we'd be a shining light. We know that not every person does, but I want to challenge your heart this morning. Would you be a person that is willing to be what God has called you to be? Would you dismiss what everybody else is doing and just be okay with doing what God has asked you to do? And that's the verse that we come to when we think about this man named John. He was called of God. He was set aside by God. That's what he tells us here. And then he gives us the description, right? What was he set aside for? The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. To bear witness, capital L, of the light. That is a reference to who? Jesus Christ. Man, do you find it? We got a message today full of Jesus. What else do we need?
Amen.
To bear witness of the light. And every Christian all over the world today has the same calling. and the same responsibility, John chose to do something with it. Look what he says. To bear witness of the light. For what reason? That all men through him, what? Might believe. Through John? Through the light of Jesus Christ. You know, so many times in the life of the church today, we like to base our success in the church off of what we've accomplished. Right? We look around the world, we look in our life, we look at our lives individually, and we probably don't want to talk about this too much in our own human nature, but we look back on some things in our life and we try to gauge, right? Are we successful and how are we successful? We gauge it by the monetary things that we have, the possessions, the amount of money in our checkbook. We gauge it by our family, by our relationships, if people like us or not, right? Are we successful if we're a person that everybody likes? I'm going to warn you, that's probably not a good indication to gauge your life on, right? If you look at Jesus Christ, not too many people liked him. Not too many people agreed with what he did in a lot of ways, even the religious people for that matter. But he did it because God called him to do it. So many times in the life of the church today, we're striving to be a church that people will like. And I think there's a call that God brings to the church today to be a faithful witness of the light of Jesus Christ. If we're faithful witness of the light of Christ, God will do what's necessary. God will do what's intended in those things. His responsibility was to bear the light so that others, what did he say, might believe. Verse number 8, he was not that light. Very quick to dismiss that, right? Do you realize that? Man, what a message for the world today. What a message for the church of God that we are not Christ. Now that gets kind of personal, right? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe we don't want to talk about it. Maybe we don't want to get that personal this morning. I have this thought in my mind many a times, unfortunately, that I think we've grown in the life of the church today to this condition that we have really elevated ourselves as Christians to the same level as Jesus Christ. And I want to warn you this morning, it's what's keeping people from getting serious with Jesus Christ. It's what's keeping the church from growing today. And it's what's keeping people from knowing what it really means to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, because we've got Christians all over the world that have elevated themselves to a place that they don't belong. God didn't put them there. Their faithfulness to Jesus Christ didn't put them in that position. It's their own self-righteousness. It's their own idea of who they are and what they've accomplished. It's their things. And I want to warn you this morning, it's everywhere, all over this country, all over this world, in every church that you could ever walk through the doors of. It's Christians in every church pew all over this world today. It's pastors standing in pulpits every single day. The most important thing we could ever learn today is that I am not Jesus Christ. I do not have the magic fix for you. I cannot lead you to do anything special. I cannot do anything apart from Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what the Word of God says. And what the warning in this particular verse is that John came to give testimony or witness to the light of Jesus Christ. I wonder this morning if we could get to a place of humility in the life of the church today, would it change what is happening in the church of God? Would it change something in the body of Christ today if we could get up every morning and not humiliate ourselves, not tear ourselves down and break ourselves apart because we're such a failure in the eyes of God, but to come to a place of true humility and recognize that we are nothing without God? As we just read that, without God, nothing was created. We wouldn't be who we are. We wouldn't have life. We wouldn't have breath. We wouldn't have anything. And if the church would come to a place of humility this morning and set aside all the things that are attacking us from the inside out, all of the things that battle in our minds and our hearts, and we would just simply begin to love people as the way God has called us to love people and share with them what we see in this verse, that his whole purpose, John's whole purpose, was to lead others to the light of Jesus Christ. So that they could believe. Help them to see Jesus Christ. Whatever that looks like. Whatever it means. In your life personally today. In your family relationships. In your relationships with your coworkers. In your friends. With the strangers on the street. If all we could ever do is hope for them to know Jesus Christ. Had a situation this week. I ran into a couple of guys that I really needed to talk to. I'm not going to give you details. But there was a couple of guys that I really needed to talk to. We were in a bad situation and I needed to talk to them. Guess what? They're Spanish speaking only. I'm standing here thinking, my goodness, I wished I knew how to speak Spanish. I'm turning circles just wondering. 2 years of Spanish and I can't tell you one word. I don't have any idea. It was a waste of time in high school, I guarantee you that. I didn't retain any of it. These guys needed help. They really needed a conversation. And I stood there and looked at them just like, man, I'm useless. So I looked around until I finally found a guy. And it's bad to say, but I found a guy that looked like he spoke Spanish. I don't know what that looks like. But I just walked up to him and I said, hey, do you speak Spanish? And he's like, yeah. Like I was the idiot thinking, don't I look like I speak Spanish, you know? But he said, yes, I do. And I'm like, oh man, great, come over here. I need you to talk to these guys. And he talked to him. And they're standing there. And as funny thing is this guy that speaks Spanish talked to him for 10 minutes and got no more information than I got out of them without speaking Spanish. And I'm thinking, well, that was useless. I already knew all that. He's like, well, how'd you know? I said, because I communicated enough to know what they were talking about and I could figure that out. But you know, God has a language. And He has a way of speaking.
That's right.
And if we have a heart and a desire for people to know the truth of Jesus Christ, He will open doors of opportunity for us.
Amen.
And it's much more than a language barrier could ever be. But so many times in the life of the church today, our desire is to see God do something, and we sit back and say, God, do it, and we just wait. And we don't see the movement of God, and we're not really searching the light. But one of the things that we can do most often in the life of the church is just simply love people enough so they'll see Jesus. All the other barriers that we might have, I don't think like them, I don't act like them, I don't work with them, they're not my kind of people, I don't care where they go, I don't do this, I don't do that. All of those things disappear when the church is serious about just letting God do what God can do. And there's a call in these verses, I think, for the church that we would be a witness and a light that others might believe. He said in verse 8 that He was not the light. It's not about me. It was not about John, but was sent to bear witness of the light, to bear evidence of these things. And it's what we are called to do today. We are light bearers. We are called to bear witness of Jesus Christ in every action and every attitude of our life. Verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There's a desire for us today to see others know Jesus Christ. He was in the world. Look what he says in verse 10. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now consider what that verse means, right? Consider what we really see in this context of these verses. He was in the world. We know that Jesus came to this earth, right? John bare witness of Jesus Christ. Jesus showed up just like John said he would. He came to the earth. He did exactly what the Heavenly Father in the beginning created him to do, which was come to this earth and die on a cross for you and I. And for every other person in this world that has no clue who Jesus really is. And He came to this earth. Look what He says. He was in the world. And the world was made by Him. Just in case you forgot, we already talked about that, right? Now you consider today, if we created something. I think about this relationship sometimes when we talk about our children and the relationships with our children. Our children kind of know. Babies know who their mom is, right? It's obvious. Most of the time, if you're not a baby's mother and you pick them up, they're going to scream and cry and do things because you're not mom. Dads, we don't matter. They're not that big a deal. Moms are important. Babies like them moms. They're attached to them. They're created that way. My children, I look at my children every day and I see those kids and I think, man, yep, that's my kid. Can't deny that. There's a lot of things there that just point to that. That's something special. When we celebrate those things, and you want parents love their kids. It don't matter, even if they do everything wrong, right? Our kids don't ever do anything wrong. Don't live that way. Don't deceive yourselves in thinking they're perfect children, because they're not. Not by any means. Right? But they're ours. And we love them. God created them because of that marriage relationship and what He's expecting of us. And think about those things, and think about it in relation to the whole world. That God created His Son. And He created every person that's out there in the world, the ones that we like and the ones we don't like. The ones that see the way that we are and they don't like the way we are. I was thinking about this just this week. There's a lot of things that I really don't like that people do. And I get to thinking the other day, I was like, you know what? There's probably 10 times as many things they don't like about me. There really is. And so many times we get into this place in our mind where I'm convinced my way is the right way. Right? And then I talk to my wife and I determine that's not necessarily true. Right? That's just the way it works. That's why God gives us wives. And why He gives wives husbands.
Yep.
So we can work on those things. Do you realize that that's why God gave us the church?
Amen.
So we can grow together and hold each other accountable and recognize that. And it's not a bad thing to be in a family of believers that will honestly come together and say, hey, we want to do what's right according to the Word of God. And maybe we're not doing that. Maybe we've stepped aside from those things. And if the light of the church was truly, that was our goal, was just to be the light for Jesus Christ and bear the witness of who He is and what He's doing in our life. And others would see Jesus in our life and the church could grow. And we set aside all of those things. I don't think it's any mistake what we've been studying for months on end, that the church in the book of Acts grew day by day. Every single day, moment by moment, the church grew. Why did they grow? Because of things like this. Because they were most concerned with bearing witness of who Jesus Christ was.
Amen.
As they were in a hurry to get the word spread out. And today, unfortunately, the church is in a hurry for a whole lot of things, and most of it has nothing to do with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We are hurrying through the world. I heard on the radio just the other day that our world is speeding up, and everything in it is speeding up. And I don't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it for a second. That's part of God's plan. He created it. And if He wants to speed up time, He can speed up time. And we say, well, there's 24 hours in a day. We know that's just the way it is. Anybody ever get home at the end of the day and say, man, I get nothing done? Right? Got absolutely nothing done that I wanted to get done. And we're going to try to get it done tomorrow. We're so busy. I hear this every single day from every person that I talk to. We're so busy. Hey, how's it going? Oh, we're just busy. I want you to consider this morning, is that where the church is today?
Yeah.
And is there a reason we're there?
Mm-hmm.
If we're so busy, and we're too busy, we miss opportunity to do what God has called us to do.
Amen.
We say, good Christians say, well, we're going to do it while we're being busy, right? We're going to do it. I'm not a very good multitasker. It just doesn't work for me. Women are also usually better at that a little bit sometimes. They figure it out because they have to. I'm not a very good multitasker. We lose focus eventually, right? Sometimes it's just really hard. You can do a lot of things and you can be really good at this and do that and try this and try that. But we only give part of ourselves to all of it, right? And you know, when you want to get something done, what do we do? When you know you've got to get something done, you just wipe away everything else, right? We move all the distractions. We get rid of all these things. We say we've got to stop everything we're doing and we've got to get this done. What if that was the mentality of the church today? We're going to stop everything else so we can get people saved. So that others can see the light of Jesus Christ. You know, man, that changes whole life. How do we make a living? How do we do what we got to do? How do we get the kids to school? How do we go to this? How do we go to that? How do we get all those things done? It's an attitude of our heart and a matter of the condition of our heart. We can go about the things we do every single day and be a light for Jesus Christ. John bear witness of the light. He came into this world. He created this world, right? Everything was made by Him. But the world didn't know Him. And that's the condition of the world we live in today. You just stop and think for just a minute about 20 people. Let's say 20 people that you know in your life. How many of those 20 people are saved? Don't think about the ones you already know are saved, right? Think about the 20 people you deal with all day, every day. The people that live around you in your neighborhood, or down the street, your coworkers, maybe it's your family, maybe it is the people that live under your roof. And they know Jesus Christ. This 20 people. What if we weren't content until the first 20 people that came into our mind knew Jesus Christ? We show them the light and we show them the light and we show them the light until they know. Till they make a decision. Doesn't mean they're going to get saved. We can't. I wish we could say that, right? I wished it'd be great. How many of us as Christians would go out there faithfully and share our faith right now this afternoon if we knew that no matter what we said, they were going to get saved? That'd be great. That's not our business. Our responsibility is to share the light. Continue to be that light bearer for Jesus Christ. He came into the world and the world didn't know Him. He came unto His own. Look what it says. And His own received Him not. What does that mean? They come to His own. Right? The Bible tells us over and over. That's where the gospel came first, right? To the Jews first. And what does it say? They didn't want to hear it. And I wonder this morning if this is not the condition of many of believers today. When God speaks to the church, and the church just doesn't want to hear it. Anytime, any situation in our life as individual believers, when you hear the voice of God calling and you simply say, I don't want to do it. Or you simply, maybe you just, to make yourself feel better, you don't say no, but you just don't do it. the same thing, right? Think about that all the time with my children. My children very rarely, I can't remember a time when any of my children have told me no. I can remember lots of times when they just didn't do what I told them to do. Doesn't make it any easier, right? Doesn't make it any better. Basically, they just told me no. It just didn't come out of their mouth. They sat there and did what they wanted to do. That's the condition of the church today. When you sit in church Sunday after Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, whenever it is that we're together, and you come to church and you go through the steps and you read your Bible and you pray and you say, God, I heard it, but I don't want to do it. Or you sit in the church pew and not make a decision for Christ. Or you sit at home and say, I'm going to do it. One of these days we're going to get to it. We don't have time for that. We're speeding up, right? Life's speeding up. The world's going faster and faster. I don't feel it, but I guess it is. I tell you, it seems like, right? There's never enough time in a day. How many times do you hear that? There's still 24 hours in a day, as far as I know. Right? What did we do for it? What did we do with it? If God has called in your life and you continually choose to just not do what He's called you to do, it's the same as saying, no, God, I don't want to do it. Saying yes to the Lord is taking a step of faith. Saying yes to the Lord is being obedient. I don't know exactly what God is calling for in our church right now at this moment. I know that we've got a team of people trying to figure that out so we can keep moving forward and help the church to do what we need to do. And I know, hopefully, that all of you that are here and been a part of things recently are actually genuinely praying about that. That's what we're asking for. I don't know what the next step is. I really don't. Not just yet. But I know the direction that I feel God is leading the church to go. And from a lot of perspectives, I can sit back and say, man, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't really make sense at the moment. It does in one sense and it doesn't in another. That's that thought that is running through our mind. If the Lord's called us to do something and we know when we get to that place and the church feels like that's where we need to go, then we just need to start digging a hole. That's what we do. Our next step for the church, if God is really calling, what we're asking you to pray for is to build a building out here so that we can further the ministry that we feel God has already called us to. Then the step of obedience is to get the shovels out and start digging a hole. And trust God. Conversation we had with our next step leader the first time we discussed what we wanted, he says, well, how long is it going to be before we get this done? You think probably in a year's time we can get ready to do this? I said, in a year's time there better be a building standing out there.
There you go.
We ain't got time to mess around with that. And he said, you're crazy. You can't do that, right? We got to slow down. Man, if God's called us to do something, do it.
Amen.
If God's called us as an individual Christian or an individual person to get saved, we need to get people saved. If He's called you to get baptized, you need to just say, yes, I'll get baptized. If He's called you to join this church, you need to join this church.
Amen.
If He's called you to take steps of obedience in your life and do something that nobody's ever even heard of or thought of or never even talked to anybody about, that's okay. Do it anyways. Because the faithfulness of our God is beyond anything we could comprehend. And if He's called us to do it, then we know that He's already prepared the way for us to do it.
Amen.
He's already opened doors for us to do those things. The door is open. Scripture tells us, if you take one of these home, you're going to find it in there. Revelation 3:18, there's an open door. God opened it. There's no man that can shut it.
That's right.
There's no person, there's no situation, there's no difficulty, no challenge in this world that can separate us from the love of God and what He's called us to do. I don't know what it is for you. It may be a part of this church. It may be something beyond here. John was a faithful witness. He came. He shared. Jesus, He reminds us, right? He came into the world, they received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. God has given us that power. He's given us that relationship, which were born, He says, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were born of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Think about that verse. John was sent as a witness and a light. Jesus came to the earth and He came to proclaim who He was. And what He was offering to the world is the same thing that He's offering to people every single day today.
That's
a relationship with Him, the opportunity to be a child of God. No wonder this morning when you consider these things, if you are truly a child of God, wouldn't you want people to know that? I know in some situations in our world today, you may not want people to know who your parents are. Most of us, that's kind of a good thing, right? We're kind of proud of those things. It's a good thing to say, this was my mom, this is my dad, this is what they did. Well, maybe as you grow older, that changes a little bit, I know. But I always think about how young kids are, man. That's that conversation at the schoolyard, right? My dad's bigger than your dad. I don't think I ever heard anybody say my mom cooks better than your mom, but I think that was something that did come up in conversation sometimes, right? Those kinds of things. We're proud of those relationships. We're proud of the things. Why is today as the church, why are we not proud of the God that we say lives in our life? Amen. Why are we not proud of the fact that we at one point in our life accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and that made us a part of the family of God? And if the church today was proud of who we are, we would take steps of obedience to honor that God. It's honoring to our parents when children, we do what God's called us to do. Right? When as children, when we honor our parents and we actually do those things, when I tell my kids to do something, they get up and actually do it, it brings honor to me. It encourages me because I know that I've asked them to do something and I've not asked them to do it because I didn't want to do it, but because I wanted them to grow from it. I want them to learn from it. It's a hard thing for my boys to understand. They're going to grow from taking the trash out every day. But one of these days, they're going to thank me for it. They're going to know what it means to actually take the trash out. Hopefully, they're not going to live in a house piled up with trash. I don't know. You know, one of those things you want them to learn, right? I was changing oil on the vehicles last week, and I told them, I said, hey, you guys need to get underneath there. They all looked at me like, why do I want to get underneath the car? Why do I want to do that? I had one crawl underneath there with me. The other sat and watched from the living room window. Well, I told them, you need to know. They literally asked this question, why do I need to know that? I said, because you don't need to pay somebody to do something you can do. But you know what? Honestly, one of the things that happens in church life today, and we may not be paying anybody, but that's kind of the mentality of the church. If somebody else would do it, why bother? Yep. That is not what God has called us to do.
That's right.
It's not what God is asking of each of you. You can go through life just being a Christian. You can go through life the whole rest of your life today. You can go through the whole rest of your life, whatever that might be that God has given to you, and just know simply that you were saved and know that you're going to go to heaven. Well, when you get to heaven and you stand before our Lord, is that enough for you? Do you want to get to heaven and just say, well, God, I got saved. That was all I needed to do, right? Good enough for me. What would we like to get to heaven and really honestly know? Have you ever thought about the scripture that it says, well done, good and faithful servant? What does that mean? Well done, good and faithful servant. You prayed a prayer one time and got saved. Good enough, right? I don't know about you, but from the world standards, if a servant did one thing, they got hired, and they did nothing else after that, are they a very good servant? Not something in the world standards that anybody's going to keep around. You got an employee today, and you hired him, and they showed up the first day. You thought, man, good, they showed up. First thing, that's getting actually kind of a good thing today. They actually show up after you hire them, and they keep showing up. That's a big step today. God has so much more for the church. He has so much more for you. Are you willing to take a step of obedience? Do what God's called you to do. Be a part of whatever God's calling in your life, not only in your life, but when your life is moving in the direction God's called you to go, it's going to change the life of other people. And when you're involved in a local body of believers, it changes the whole church. And it moves us in the direction God's called us to go. Would you be willing? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. Lord, I thank you that you're a God that is bigger than the beginning and the end of anything we could comprehend. Lord, that you have always been and that you will always be, that there was a Savior that was there from the very beginning and a Savior that now lives in our hearts and our lives when we accept you. And Lord, I pray this morning that we would just take full opportunity to celebrate the Holy Spirit that lives in our life when we've become a faithful servant of yours. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, they don't really know what this means to accept you as their Lord and Savior, I pray in this invitation that they come forward. Lord, that they just walk down this aisle and that they would take care of that today, that they would pray, Lord, truly for you to be the Lord of their life today, and that they would know what the direction is next for them in their life. Lord, for those of us that can say we've accepted you as our Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, that you would challenge our hearts in this time of invitation. If there's things that need to be taken care of, Lord, if there's sin that needs to be confessed, Lord, if there's steps of obedience that need to be taken, we've been putting them off and we've been just denying everything you're telling us to do by simply sitting still. I pray you'd help us to make a difference today, Lord. Make a different step and be obedient to you. Lord, whatever your will is in this place, I pray this morning that you'd help us to truly honor the God of this universe by being obedient to you today. We thank you, Lord. We praise you and we ask these things in your name. Amen. If you will, stand with me. If you're going to use a hymnal, it's page number 300. Stephanie, to play one more. Close your eyes and bow your head. If God's called you to do something today, would you do it? Something, come and do it. Father, Lord, we come before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to be in this house and worship together. Lord, to hear from your word and to know your truth. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, this morning that you've opened up doors of opportunity and you've shown your light. Lord, I thank you that Brother Dean has come and accepted you as his Lord and Savior this morning.
Amen.
And Lord, I pray that you would just work in his heart, that you continue to guide him and direct him in his life. And Lord, I just thank you that as a church we get to be a part of those things and know that you're still working in this place. And Lord, I pray as we leave here this morning, Lord, that you'd break down any other barriers, any other walls that might be holding others from being obedient to you. Lord, that you just help us to be the church you've called us to be. Lord, whatever your next step is for our church and for each individual that is in this room, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see it and to know it. Lord, that we might just live knowing you as our God and our Creator, the great God of this universe. Lord, as we go out into the world this week, that we would be that light-bearing Christian that you call us to be. We thank you, Lord, and we ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.